All right, let's get started this morning, okay? All right, who would like to work the microphone for me? Pastor, for a couple minutes, could you? Yeah, but you do them good.
That's right.
My title is, You Have to Be in God's Will to Do God's Will. You know, that was our entire year practically has been speaking about being in God's will, knowing God's will, correct? What it takes to be in God's will, the power, all of that sort of thing. This goes along with that, but we're going to back up just a little bit, hit reverse. I'll explain as we go here. Psalm 37 is an excellent psalm. I'm going to keep referencing back to that all morning here. But let's start off with Psalm 37, verse 1 through 5. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Wow. Trust in the Lord and do good. Let me repeat that one. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. That's a blessing. So what do you get a blessing for? Doing good, right? Take delight in the Lord. When you delight in something, what do you think that means? Give me a definition, somebody. Kim, give me a definition.
Hang on a minute.
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm quick.
Well, he just leaped up there.
To delight, to enjoy his presence, yeah.
Enjoy, that'll be a good one. You agree with that, Kevin, or do you want to add something? Oh, yeah, what? Oh, I thought you wanted to add something.
I concur wholeheartedly.
Can you? He concurs. Now, that doesn't happen very often. That's, thank you. Catch him with his mouth full.
He's
heard
a wise
secret.
Man concurring with his wife.
Yes. But take delight in the Lord. Enjoy being in the Lord's presence. If we don't enjoy being in God's presence, how in the world can we enjoy being in each other's presence, right? If our joy comes from the Lord, you want more joy? Get more God, right? It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's the blessing. Blessing for what? Taking delight in the Lord. But this means the desires of your heart. Are the desires of our heart usually good things? Let's be honest now, right? When, if Pastor Don would ask somebody on a Sunday morning, stand up and count your blessings. Tell us how God's blessing
that.
You.
Let's
okay,
see.
Try
up,
that.
Stand up and count your blessings.
How's God blessing you? What are you thankful for?
Oh, gee, everything.
Oh. How has God blessed you?
He has blessed me with life,
ooh,
breath of air, love of family and friends. He has blessed me with the word printed so that I can study it and live his word. He has blessed me with family, children, Christian husband, which was something I didn't
have
think
we met him?
Had.
Notice that was down on the list.
Yes, yes.
It's
yes.
There. It's there. It's there,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Thank you.
Go back in. She's talking about you.
He has blessed me with this church. He has blessed me with obedient pastors. He has blessed me with...
That's enough. Take the microphone from her. She's stealing my
I
whole message.
On.
I know you could.
I'm at the bottom of that list.
Yes, you were.
You're in the top 25, though. You know, the AP listing there. You're at least in there.
All right. You're absolutely right. I would not have picked on you because I know your heart's in the right place. But most of us, let's be honest. First thing we do usually when somebody asks us about our blessings, count our blessings, we start talking about the things that we have, don't we? He's blessed me with a house. He's blessed me with a car. It's always sometimes we start off with the material things. And those do come from God. Everything you have comes from God, period, right? You know what you've earned? Nothing. Well, I work a job. Where'd you get the job? God. We can keep going back. It's always going to come back to God. Now let's jump back in here. We'll get back to that. Number five, verse five, I'm sorry. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and do this. Do what? Take delight in the Lord and do what is good. Simple. Verse 23. The Lord, we're in the same. We're going to stay in Psalm 37. So verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. The Lord makes firm the steps. Have you ever walked, especially this time of year, have you ever walked on ice? You're afraid to take a step.
Hey, hang on a minute. We got a story here.
No, don't give it to Betty. She'll
Betty,
fall. No.
Tell us about walking on ice.
She'll fall off.
Okay, it was just a few years ago. I was cleaning the snow off my driveway, and it was a little icy out there, but I was determined to get it done. Well, I slipped. I fell, broke my right arm, my right leg, was in the hospital for 1 week, had a rod put down my leg. And then I was in rehab for 3 weeks. So be careful on the ice. Oh, my gosh. It was like that year that we had that winter vortex. It was super, super cold. Yeah. And I'm laying on the ground because the snow was piled up where I had shoveled. And people driving by, they can't see me laying there. So I'm yelling. I don't have my phone with me, of course not. And I'm yelling out because I couldn't get up, could not get up. And then I'm yelling and yelling and help, help, somebody help. So I get my arm and I'm waving and nobody can see above the snow pile. But finally the guy across the street heard me. He comes running over and then he called 911.
It's very dangerous then, Betty.
Yes.
If you're not on firm ground, right? What can you trust in if you're not on firm ground? Could we even take a step if we didn't know the ground was there, right? We have to remember that nothing is more important than a believer's life in finding the will of God. That's our firm ground, is being in the will of God, right? Not doing the will of God, but being in the will of God, right? We got to find that first, because there it goes back to the title. You have to be in God's will to do God's will. Sometimes we put that in reverse. If doing God's will was all it takes, why did they get... The law would have been enough, wouldn't it? That didn't work real well, did it? Never does. Talking about being on slippery slopes, I remember when I lived across from Betty.
You know, I was going to ask, Bob lived over just around the corner from you at that time, didn't you?
Well, I drove by. I waved back at her. Hi, Betty.
I drove by.
I thought she was waving at me. Hi, Betty.
Yeah, she's down there praying. She's like a Muslim.
Yeah. Right? The neighbor on the other side of the street at the time, one morning I go out. This was when I was working, so it's a long time ago. And I hear somebody yelling, hey, who's that? Hey. I'm looking. I don't see nobody. What in the world? Hey. And I hear a car. He's slamming on it. Oh. Go over. And this poor guy, middle of winter, was cleaning his car off, right? You know how the snow piles up, so he's kind of on the snow trying to clean his car. And he slid and wedged himself between the car and the snow. I had a heck of a time digging this guy out. He's beating, hey! It is dangerous when you're not on firm ground. And what is our firm ground?
Hey, Bob, I don't know if you saw a picture. Over in Japan, I think it's Japan or China, they got one of those huge skyscrapers.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to, like, Toronto, you get off the elevator and they have, like, the see-through floor. Any of you ever been there and up in the tower? But in China, they have that, but they have a computer that makes it look like it's cracking. So you walk out and this thing,
and
it's hilarious. Oh. People start grabbing on it, you know, and the sound effects and everything else. And, you know, because they're up about 1,200 feet, and I think I'd be, you know, grabbing someone too.
It would not be a pretty picture. I don't like heights. That would not be a pretty picture for me.
Yeah.
But has anybody ever been in an earthquake?
Yeah.
The little one we had here, I mean an earthquake quake. I was in one time in California.
I was going to say, Bob, you should be at my house when I leave the ice machine on crushed ice and don't put it on the regular ice. There's an earthquake.
There's an earthquake. Yeah,
that's more of an ice quake. The house that scare anybody.
But they always teach you to run out of the building, right? But when you run out of the building and the street is going like this, you don't know what to do, right? It was actually, buildings were moving, all the glass was cracking. Run out in the street and hits like this. You're just completely at a loss because without firm ground, we have nothing, right? And that's in the physical. How much worse is it in the spiritual if we're not on firm ground? Is the will of God something we have to do? Is the will of God something that we should have to do? Yes? No. No. The will of God is something that we should want to do. Having to do it and then doing it is a lot different. We should want to do it, right? Something we have to do is something usually we don't want to do. Oh, I have to go to the bank and they just give me, I got to go get $1 million out of the bank and I just don't want to do that today. Right? No. It's things we don't want to do, like shovel the snow in winter, Betty, right? I'm sure you get a quinge now every time you, I got to go out there and shovel. Thank you. But it's something that we should want to do. That's where it starts. We have to have the right heart attitude when we do something, right? Or doing it is almost meaningless. Doing it is your reward in itself. Let's throw out a definition. I keep talking about the will of God. The will of God, this is simply my definition. The will of God is what we would choose for our own lives if we had enough sense to do it. Right? I don't think, there's a lot of smart people in here, but not a one of you have enough sense to do or to be God. Right? Okay. Just making sure. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of God. To also be our bread and butter. In other words, what gives us life and purpose, right, is doing the will of God. Or more importantly, being in the will of God. God's will for your life could simply be defined as you as a believer walking in the steps that God has ordained for your life. Everyone there is different, right? Bernie has a different walk than I do, right? Donna has a different walk than anyone else. Donna, the other Donna, two Donnas, they both have a different walk, right? What that Donna's supposed to do is not what this Donna's supposed to do, is it? Not on the personal level. And what I mean by that, God's will in your life is divided into two parts. Simple, two parts. First is God's personal will for your life. That's what I was just talking about, the two Donnas. But the second is God's moral will for my life. That should all be the same. Any idea how we know what God's moral will in our life is? Who said that? I'm the head of the class.
Who said what?
Alma.
Alma, here.
The Bible.
The Bible, okay. Now listen to this. There's two wills. God's personal will for your life, but God's moral will for our life. The entire Word of God is almost a reference book on how to act with other people, how to interact with other people, how to interact with God, how to interact with the church, right? It's a simple list of the things that we should do and the things that we shouldn't do, right? It's more of a moral basis. Here's what I put down. It is impossible to walk in God's personal will for your life if you're living in rebellion to his moral will for your life. I love the way the place fills up when Prophet Trout comes in. I just love it. I need a word from God. Well, you were here last year and got a word from God. How's that going? Well, I need a new word. Well, what about the old word? Well, it hasn't come yet, but I need more direction. Now, I'd agree that most of us need more direction, but the Bible clearly teaches that the steps, just like I read, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Of a good man.
How about of a wicked man, Bob?
God controls.
I'm going to ask you a few questions here.
God controls everything and everybody. Sometimes we have the fallacy that God only controls us in our lives. Everybody around us. When we talk about all these coincidences, we talk about what happened to us. But think of all the people, other people that are involved in that don't even have the slightest idea what's going on. God made them. God uses them. They choose not to serve him. That's fine. You know what? He is still God. He made them. He created them. He's going to use them.
Yeah, Bob, we see all throughout the scripture God using wicked people, even good people that run away from God.
Uh-huh.
So think of this like Jonah. Was Jonah in God's will when he ran away from the presence of the Lord?
No.
Yeah, well, better think about it. Oh, Donna, you said no, and then you said, yeah, wait a minute, explain your answer.
No, because I said no. And then I started thinking that God's in control of everything, and he has a plan for us, so he used him in that plan, even though he shouldn't have been in the belly of a whale.
So we see a lot of times, you know, and then the question becomes, can God's will, we read in Romans chapter 9, Paul says, the argument is, who can withstand his will? And then the answer was, who are you to speak back? So, you know, when we, as Christians, we know, we have in Romans, all things work for our good. And there's times when we walk away from God. But when we look back and we say, you know, a lot of times we didn't understand at the time. And we know what you're saying, his moral will, doing what's right and that. But even when we go wrong, God can still use that and will use that. And we've seen it in a lot of the prophets or people that didn't want to serve him. And they look at Peter, he rejected Christ, and then you ask yourself, was that God's will? It was prophesied to him, right? So, I mean, you get into that area.
But, yep.
You know, and as people of God, we need to understand that God, you know, I think you did the class, Bob, he has our back.
Yes.
You know, and so there are just unfortunately going to be times that he doesn't forsake us.
No.
You know, and usually, so, you know, theologians.
Usually he never forsakes us. We forsake him. That's what Jonah did, right?
Yeah, he tried to run away from the presence of the Lord, and did God abandon him?
Yes. Oh, no, God never abandons us.
No, but when you try to run away, what happens? You know,
where are you going to run?
Yeah.
Yeah, the word says, I'm at the. You can pick a dead fish up at the bottom of the sea, and I'm there, right? God is everywhere. Where are you going to go hide from God? I'd like to find that place. It's got to be awful restful and quiet, but you know what? There is no such place. The place for rest and quiet is in God's presence, the closer you can get to God, not the further away. It is impossible to walk in God's personal will for your life if you are living in rebellion to his moral will. It's better to be than do. Anybody ever read Matthew 5 through 8? What do they call those? The Beatitudes, right?
Right.
How we should be. Does God start off by telling us what you should do? The law is already there. Why should he have to? They haven't been able to do that, right? He's telling them, look, you're putting the cart before the horse. What you need to do is change yourself, right? Let you in on a secret. You can't change anybody, right? Except yourself. That's all. That's the only one that God gives you the power over. You can be a blessing. You can be an inspiration. You can be a model, but you can't change them. Only God can do that, right? The only one that can change you is God, but you have the power and the authority to turn your life over. In other words, what I'm saying is that it's more important who you are than what you do. If you do all the right things for the wrong reasons, do you think that'll be blessed? It's much more important what we are than where we are. Well, I'll go to China and do this. I'll go somewhere. We're always thinking of going somewhere and doing something. You have to go about 1 foot between your heart and mind and get those two together, right? And start with that. God's moral will was spelled out perfectly by Christ there, right? The Beatitudes. If you can live up to them, that's enough. But honestly, how many here live up to all the Beatitudes? Okay, One or two. We all do good.
Donna does. She's but got
Donna,
the
yes,
attitude.
Yes. Other than Donna.
She be attitude.
it's in God's Word, and that's spelled out, too, in 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 through 17. Now, I like to go through different versions. There's a lot. NIV is, of course, my favorite, and the original NIV. But sometimes another version just seems to make more sense the way it's laid out. Not as a whole, but that one little thought or that one little sentence. Mm-hmm. In 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now listen, this next part we all hear, we hear this one all the time. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful in teaching us, right? Some people read the Word so they can teach others. The Word of God inspired to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You have to know what's right before you know what's wrong. That's what the Word of God does for us. It teaches us what is right. Then take around a look in the mirror. You know, every time I stand up this morning, shave everything, I say, dang, I'm pretty. See, I have no reference point.
Yeah. If you ever saw Bob's mirror,
cracks,
he bought it at the carnival. You know, one of those things that, you know, disfigure you.
Yes.
Well, I was thinking of Curly on the Three Stooges, the wolf man behind him. He goes, I think lady screamed when she, you know, because the wolf man was standing behind Curly, and he turned around and looked in the mirror, and
yes.
Goes, lady, I think you got something there.
You know, God didn't need, when we got saved, what did God start doing? Us teaching what was right. So what was it? What were we doing before that? Nothing. We were doing what was wrong. At the time, did we know everything? Some things we did, of course, we knew were wrong. There are other things that, honestly, we did not, right? We just didn't think of it that way. But that's the first thing that God teaches. You were just sitting over there. How many Donnas are there? There's just, everywhere I look, there's a Donna. All right. Listen now. God's personal will for your life will elude you until you get what we just said about your personal self nailed down. Some Christians will go to the grave, never having let God do spiritual surgery on their life after salvation. They get saved, they run out and start doing. They want to spread God's word. They don't want to change, but they want to change everybody else. We've run into people like that, haven't we?
Yeah, every time we get up and look in the mirror. You know, if we're honest, how many of us really do want to change, you know?
Oh, it's one thing, we hate change, right? How often have we heard that? Well, that's just how I am.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. I mean, we had a presidential candidate, we had a president that ran on that.
Another dime.
Hope and change. You know, it's like the changing of the guard with her walking back and forth. What is going on? But, you know, that it sounds promising, doesn't it? But how many of us want to go through the process? I always relate it back to sports teams that, you know, we'll use the Lions for an example. You know, that everybody's, you know, always saying, well, they want to get better. What's the process that you're going to have to go through? You know, we all want to, Diana? No, I was just going to say that, you know, that's why Jesus tells sit down, consider that cost, because there's going to be a cost. There's all sorts of things. There's training. There's sacrifice. There's commitment. All those things that are required of, required of us.
No. Well, you took it all. No.
Yes. He does that. All right, go ahead, Diana.
I was just going to say that
Diana.
Transformation is a process. I mean, and
yes.
I don't like it. I mean, but the butterfly doesn't become a butterfly. Right. It's first a caterpillar, right?
Yes, yes.
And so it has to go through the process, and so do we. But I was just thinking, too, about the Lord's Prayer. And it reads, part of it is, not my will.
But your will.
And that kind of sticks with me because I pray that a lot because I can be pretty willful.
Not you.
You know, I'm sure we've all seen those before and after pictures. You know, shows the, you know. But what it doesn't show you is the in-between.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know, what,
yeah.
Okay, I had to change and start working out. I had to change my diet. You know, all these things that we love. And so when you sit down and you consider, man, it's not easy. But it's really worth it once you get to that destination. That's what, you know, you look at these teams, they win a trophy, don't they? Like a Super Bowl. Well, that trophy, I mean, it's plastic, it's glass, it's metal. And what's it really going to, you know, benefit these guys? Nothing. It's the whole effort that went into attaining. That's what it was. Elma?
You talk about change, and everyone always says that everyone hates change. I don't. I like change. I enjoy it. Is that odd?
Except for changing and coming on time. Yes, I agree with you.
Okay. I have the microphone. No. I do. No, but seriously, no. I do enjoy. No, I didn't say I loved it, Pastor. Like, I enjoy different things.
So you enjoy change.
Else, am I the only one?
Yeah, why don't you try being homeless next year? That's a change. You have a beautiful house now, right?
Yes.
We'll get rid of it. Change.
Well, I don't have a house.
Hey, Elma, rent. How about your son now?
Well, you don't live in a manger.
I know,
you
hard,
live somewhere.
But yeah, it's a different. It? No, I'm still. Okay.
Take the microphone from her. She can't change.
But what I mean is, like, you accept that you know you have to change to be better. Like, if you just stay the same, you'll always be the same. You won't ever be any better.
No, you are absolutely
to God or
right.
Anything.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You have to embrace that and know that there's
yes.
going to be change.
But here again goes
maybe
back.
Maybe we have silence in this place. Donna Madrano's about to speak.
Oh.
I was just going to say what Alma's trying to say.
Hold on. We're getting an interpretation here. Go ahead.
She likes change because she knows that through the process of what's going to happen is going to be good. Thank you.
Is there anything else you would like to translate that she didn't get her point across to us?
All right.
Thank you. Whenever you raise your hand again, I'm just going to Donna.
So yes, yes.
Be like, you know how you interpret for me down in Mexico? She can interpret.
That's the change. Donna will be speaking for her from now on. You want to know something from Alma? Go to Donna. But that seems to be our attitude other than there's an exception to every rule, and we have her here in our church. Well, that's how I am. Has anybody ever heard that one?
Yes.
I can't change. I've tried. It never works. Have we heard that one?
Yeah, you know, Bob, when one of the girls that plays for me says, I can't do it. Oh, you don't want to say that. They had one girl, she was new during the fall, and a girl pulled her aside. She said, don't ever say that. And she goes, why? He says, well, when we start, you'll find out if you say it. Nobody's going to like you if you say we can't do it. So lie to the coach and tell
yes.
we can do it.
Because truthfully, what you're saying is, when I can't change, what you're really saying is I don't want to change.
That's right.
We've all changed. How did you become a Christian? I look around here. Everybody here is a Christian. Were you born a Christian? So somewhere there you had to make a change, and that was a pretty drastic one. If you can do that change, everything else is going to be easier. All right? Oh, I like that. You ever hear somebody get mad at you about it? That's the way I am. Like it or lump it. That's when you get out the bat and you lump them. Or my hillbilly friends, I ain't a changing. At least they're honest. Didn't say they couldn't. They said, I ain't. But you'll never be able to walk in God's personal will for your life as long as you are harboring sin and living in rebellion in any area of your life. Right? This means we must acknowledge his lordship in every area of our lives. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, other than myself. What I'm not even saying that we'll never stumble and fall. I'm not even saying but that we have no sin. But we should have no sin in us that we've grown comfortable with. When you're comfortable with a sin, you got a problem. Sin's going to come and it goes, right? But when it stays around that you know its name, you got a problem. Even worse, do we have a sin that we're nurturing? If you keep it around long enough and get comfortable with it, the next thing is you're going to start nurturing it. Mm-hmm. Does any of us have a sin that we're harboring or hiding? You know you got a problem when there's a sin you don't want to talk about. You hope nobody else sees. Mm-hmm. Right? When you get around Pastor Don or somebody, you kind of turn your head, hope he doesn't look at me or ask me something. Any sin that you're too familiar with is a problem. We all have sin. It comes and it goes, right? The process of weeding it out is what makes us stronger. But what we have to do is remember, before we can walk out and do, we have to start by doing the basics, right? Not jump in to the second part of doing God's will. Start with the first part. The Beatitudes, like Jesus spoke about. Are you tithing and giving? No. But you think God will give you direction? Yeah, put something in the plate. Be bold. Be willing to suffer. How many people here want to suffer? Where's Alma? She just said she does. We'll give all our suffering to Alma. We'll make her happy. She loves it. Word says to be humble. Be grateful. Where did the young lady I asked about being grateful, where did she go? Where'd your mama go? She took off? I thought it was terrible that Pastor Don, I would have never asked her because she always has the right answers. I'd have asked Elma. She always has the wrong answers.
Yeah.
But here's.
Well, we can ask Donna now because she's always got the wrong answer for Donna.
She can't talk for her unless she's here. But here's the things that I put down what to be thankful for, and I'll talk about these tomorrow or next week. But here was my list. We should start off be thanking God for our salvation.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't give you another thing, he's already given you way more than you deserve. Right? What more could you ask for? Here's one, and she said this. And this goes right along with what she said. I think she snuck over here and read them.
No, that couldn't have happened.
No, that couldn't have happened. Yeah. Well, no, this
if
is
she
tight.
Could read your handwriting,
it's tight.
That we'd be,
it's yeah. tight. Yes, that part. Second thing is thank God for the people in your life, right? How many times do we hear people say that when they're asked, what do you have to be thankful for? Thankful for my wife. Where in the world else am I going to find somebody who's going to put up with me? That's the only reason I've never got rid of her. I can't find anybody else. Nobody wants me. I'm just a lone puppy. But I thank God for my family, right? Mm-hmm. I thank God for my church family. I thank God for my pastors. And here kind of goes along with what Alma said. Thank God for the trials and even the persecutions that come our way. If we're walking in God's perfect will, when it comes our way, we know that's God's perfect will. Right? He never said it was his perfect will was always going to be good, you know, tiptoeing through the tulips and throwing daisies out and stuff like that, right? It's hard sometimes. Most of the time, to be truthful. And then the very last thing I had for what to be thankful for is our material blessings. That should actually be the bottom of the list. But, of course, we thank God for those. I thank God for everything that I have, right? I wouldn't do good as homeless, I don't think. I don't think I would be good at that. Thank God for my house. I don't like to walk. Thank God for my car, right? I'm praying for one of those little rascals so I can get on to go to my car to drive.
We'll steal you one of those little scooters they got down in Dearborn or Southwest Detroit, Bob.
All right. We're gonna end today. But the point I'm trying to get across is it's more important to be what God wants you to be first. To change the mind and heart before you ask him. You can't cross a second bridge till you've crossed the first bridge. You can't go to step two without step one. And step one after salvation is sanctification, right? That's changing ourselves, not running out and changing the world. We should do that, but you got to change first and then start handing that out, right? All right, praise God. We'll be back next week, and I'll continue with this, all right? Pastor Don, would you let Ed close us? Ed, wave, Ed. He didn't recognize you with a suit on.
Yeah. He's all dapper looking.
Yes, he is.
Thank you, Mr. Cash.
All right.
Lord, we do thank you, Lord. We do thank you for our salvation, Lord.
Yes.
First and foremost. Lord, we thank you for using Bob today to bring us this word. Lord, we just ask that we would all humble ourselves, come into your yes. presence today, Lord. Lord, that we would set aside all the things of life, all the distractions, and come and worship you this morning.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Ed.